Romans chapter 10, let's start reading in verse 6. And it says, "But the righteousness of faith speaks in this way, do not say in your heart, who will ascend into heaven, that is to bring Christ down from above, or who will descend into the abyss, that is to bring Christ up from the dead." And that's always something I feel like I have to explain a little bit. Basically, what we're saying is if Jesus were here in person and he prayed for me, I'd be healed. Or whatever the prayer would be. If Jesus were here, my need would be met. The righteousness of faith wouldn't say that. Verse 8, "But what does it, the righteousness of faith, say? The word is near you, in your mouth and in your heart." You remember the Roman centurion that came to Jesus? Said, "My servant is laying at home, dreadfully tormented." And Jesus said, "I'll come and heal him." And the Roman centurion said, "That's not necessary. You don't need to do that. I know how this thing works. I'm a man under authority. I have soldiers under me. You just say the word and it'll be done." And Jesus marveled. He marveled. I don't use that word very often, but that's interesting. That means he was impressed. It took him back like, "Whoa, guys, did you hear this?" And then he used this phrase, "I've not found such great faith, not even in all of Israel." And you know the Roman centurion wasn't a covenant person, right? In Jesus' ministry, he was there to minister to the children. Told the Syrophoenician woman, another time he used the term great faith, told her it's not right to give the children's bread to dogs. And she said, "Well, I just need a crumb. Can I get a crumb that falls from your table?" And he said, "Great faith." Two times he uses that phrase. It was interesting to me that the centurion recognized the authority of the word. Say the word. You already have in you everything that pertains to life and godliness. Every tool to walk in victory is already present in you. If you didn't come here for any other reason than that, you got a load right there. "That is the word of faith which we preach, that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved." We got some teenagers born again yesterday. Showed them that lighthouse video, everything. It grabbed that entire school. Before I knew it, I had all the classes coming over to where we were and watching this video. And I mean, kids were moved. It's the gospel in 5.5 minutes without a word being spoken. And so we went outside, and I mean, this one girl, tears just falling off her face. And she's like, she was so sensitive. I said, "Well, let's act on this right now. Let's pray. Let's pray. You're moved. Let's act on this." And she received Jesus, her and a handful of others. Then he says in verse 10, "For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation." Then I want you to skip down to verse 17. "So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God." When I was kind of growing up in the word of faith movement, we get that from that verse, verse 8, "That is the word of faith which we preach." When I would hear this, the way it was quoted, the way I quoted it, was faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word. So we begin to exalt the word above the one that said it. See, we're to live by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Don't misunderstand me. I'm not demoting the word at all, but I should only do that in concert with him. The spirit of that verse is faith comes by hearing God. That's the spirit of that verse. Because the way we were kind of taught is you say it enough and faith will come. And so you get into this regimen, this routine. I've got my confessions. I do them every day. Confession is a wonderful thing. It's a right thing. But confessing doesn't bring you faith. God brings you faith. the faith you have in your heart determines the power of your words. It's not your words giving you power. Wow, I'm way out there, but that's true. Faith doesn't come by praying, although you can hear God when you're praying. It comes when we hear God. Sometimes when we get into prayer, we may have a tendency to do all the talking. Well, we need to be still. That was what we were doing this week in the school. We were teaching them how to hear God's voice. Psalm 46:10, be still and know that I'm God. So we took a bunch of Lowe's buckets and we set them out over this retention area looking at these wetlands. And actually behind our church, where our church is going to be, it's the other side of it. And so I set them up and these kids are looking at me, this is boring. I'm like, you don't get it, Scotty. You just don't get it. Anyway, so it's a process. But faith comes by hearing. So what we're going to talk about today, the title of the message is The Whole Package. The Whole Package, Sozo and Soteria. The word saved is the word sozo, and you guys know this word. We talk about it a lot. And it's kind of like the word shalom in the Hebrew. The word shalom in the Hebrew, whenever you use that word, you're saying all of it. You're not picking aspects of it to emphasize. When you say sozo, it's the same as saying shalom to somebody, okay? So this is kind of the Greek equivalent, and it means to deliver, to protect, to heal, preserve. I love that one. You ever get ground, you take ground, and then in the back of your mind, you're wondering, well, I wonder how long this will last. There's preservation in the word sozo. What ground you take, you keep. Amen. Be whole. We've spent a lot of time talking about holiness, right? It's in that word. Our wholeness is in that word. It means wholeness, spirit, soul, and body. When you get born again, the wholeness of your spirit is accomplished right then. The soul enters into a process. Hebrews says the saving, continuous repeated action, present tense. That means it's a process, the saving of the soul. And then you have the body, making your body whole. Then you have the word salvation. That word, and both of these appear in that passage right there. Salvation is a cousin to that word. You can even see in the strong numbers, they're just a few numbers apart. And the word salvation means rescue, safety, deliver, health, and saving. And it means all of that. Isn't that good news? We got delivered. And it's a whole package. And that's what I want us to see. Now, we were talking about our words just a moment ago. I'm going to show you a video that just blessed me. It's an amazing thing. And this is science. This is not any Christian material. This is science. This is what happens when we use our words. And what we're going to see, a guy named Dr. Emoto actually froze water crystals from all kinds of different sources. And he would begin to say things to the water crystals, and it would have an influence. It would change the way it looked, the way it was formed. And so he did several things with this. And so I want to encourage you, before we watch this, after you've seen this, from now on, you will bless your water. You will bless your water. You will bless that water. There's power in it. We kind of do this because it's like a religious thing that maybe we should do. You're going to do it with revelation because you're going to see evidence of what happens with our words in water crystals.
Dr. Emoto's laboratory does research on water samples which are subjected to various forms of outside influence. The impressions made upon the water are recorded by swiftly freezing it in a cryogenic chamber. This is what water heated in a microwave oven looks like. This is the effect of a mobile telephone. Somebody said, "Thank you" to this water. "Excuse me." "You disgust me." let us see how this type of water affects human blood. The doctor is drawing blood from a patient's finger. Using a special microscope, we shall be able to see the condition of her body from this drop.
These are red blood cells, and they've lost their electrical charge, so they're all stuck together in a formation called a rouleau. Here's a huge simplast. Simplasts are associated with heart disease and arthritis and lung disease and many other conditions that could be coming in the future.
The doctor asks the patient to drink a small amount of structurized water. After 12 minutes, the doctor again draws blood from the patient and studies it.
So you can see that the cells then become buoyant, they become slippery, and they have their electrical charge, so they repel each other. That allows them to carry oxygen, and it means that we're changing the pH of the blood back to an aerobic environment rather than an anaerobic environment. I think that's utterly amazing. That just drinking water could do that.
In 1995, Dr. Emoto Masaru was the first one to record musical impressions on water. In Dr. Emoto Masaru's laboratory, they allowed water to listen to music, after which they flash froze the water, and then, under the microscope, they could clearly see the crystals that the water had formed. Here is what the music of Bach looks like. Mozart. Beethoven. Heavy rock. Dr. Emoto has conducted another interesting experiment. He placed rice into three glass beakers and covered it with water. And then every day for a month, he said, "Thank you" to one beaker, "You're an idiot" to the second. And the third one, he completely ignored. After 1 month, the rice that had been thanked began to ferment, giving off a strong, pleasant aroma. The rice in the second beaker turned black. And the rice that was ignored began to rot. Dr. Emoto thinks that this experiment provides an important lesson, especially with regard to how we treat children. We should take care of them, give them attention, and converse with them. Indifference does the greatest harm. In our experiment, water reacted to individual words that had a religious content by forming beautiful crystals. The Christian prayer. Dr. Emoto presumes that serious crimes are committed most of all in areas where people curse the most often. Idiot. I hate you. Laboratory containers of water were inscribed with hieroglyphs denoting words and the names of well-known people. Love, hope, soul, Mother Teresa, Hitler. Emoto Masaru's numerous experiments aimed at finding the word that cleanses water most powerfully have shown that it is not just one word, but a combination of two. Love and gratitude.
How cool. And think about this. We're anywhere from 60 to 75% water. We are. Our bodies. In our brains, it's up to 80%. You hear it sloshing? Now, go over to Psalm 103. So our words are doing things that you don't even realize. That's science. Again, I didn't grab some Christian literature. This is what they found. Isn't that amazing? What really was strong was when he talked about the rice, that the worst thing for a child was indifference. In other words, to ignore a child. You need to interact. I've seen parents. It's an awful thing to have their child right there by them, and they talk about them like they're not there, and they're telling you why they're so broken and jacked up and all these terrible things. And those words, they hear those words. And they're having an effect. That's hard to undo when a parent is the one doing that. We need to nurture our children. We need to speak love and gratitude over them. Wasn't that cool? That love and gratitude? I mean, I got a whole bunch of water that's bottled in Groveland. I don't know where it's been or what it's heard before it got to my house, but right now I'm going, thank you, and you are loved, you know? So, praise God. Psalm 103, let's start reading in verse 2. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. I would submit to you that we have forgotten a lot of his benefits. Look at the first one listed, who forgives all your iniquities. How many of them? All of them. Who heals all your diseases. Who redeems your life from destruction. Who crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercies. Who satisfies your mouth with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. Now I want to go back to verse 3 just for a second. I want you to notice that the first thing is forgiveness of all of our iniquities. Forgiveness. Connected to that is healing all your diseases. They're connected. Okay? Go over to Isaiah 53. You're going to see a connection between righteousness and healing. And again, it's all encapsulated in the word sozo and salvation. Isaiah 53. We'll start reading in verse 4, and it says, surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God, and afflicted. I used to struggle with, what is that saying? What does that mean? And notice it's that we esteem him that way. In other words, that's our assessment. To us, it looked like God was doing this to Jesus. But look what he goes on to say. But, meaning your assessment's wrong, but he was wounded for our transgressions. What happened to Jesus was for us. It was for you. It's not God doing something to Jesus. He's doing something for you. Do you see it? He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement for our peace was upon him. And by his stripes we are healed. Present tense. Isaiah is looking ahead to it. Go over to 1 Peter chapter 2. Isaiah is looking ahead to it. And I heard Joseph Prince teaching on this very verse. And he said the word stripes there is actually singular. And I wish I had the video because they did an animation that showed what would happen when the cat of nine tails would hit his back. And you got 39 of those. And so he said, there cannot be one sliver of skin left. If you're going to say stripe, that means his complete back was gone. No skin left. One stripe. One. That's the only way that word could be singular. And what he showed was just an illustration. It wasn't graphic or anything like that. But wow. I was sharing this with the kids yesterday. That the one that was really moved, and why did they do this to him? Why? And I said, for you. It's for you. I remember saying the movie, The Passion, hey, we should watch The Passion. I said, I can't show that here. It's R-rated. And I said, actually, the Lord spoke to my heart, it's not graphic enough. I can still tell when he's on that cross that that's James Gaviesel, the actor. I can still see the stripes on his back. He had his back removed. Some accounts said you could see his organs functioning through his back. I mean, that's graphic. But why? So you would be healed. He took the penalty of sin so that you could be saved and healed. Okay? 1 Peter 2:24, look at this. Who himself bore our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, having died to sins, might live for righteousness, by whose stripes you were healed. Notice Peter is looking back at it. If you were healed, then you are healed. Isaiah is looking forward to it. He's calling things that are not as though they were. He puts it in the present tense. Now we're looking back at it. It's a finished work. And the thing is, I've just shown you three passages that connect righteousness and healing. It's the same sacrifice. Three different scriptures that point to that. Let me ask you a question. If I shared the gospel, let's say we watched that video, Lighthouse, and then let's say we had, 50 people here, and of the 50, 25 people raised their hand to receive Jesus, and we said, come to the altar, and everybody lined up across here, and everybody prayed to receive Jesus. How many of them got born again? How many of them became righteous? How many of them received their forgiveness? All of them, right? Every one of them. Okay? So when we get into this situation of healing, why is it that we all of a sudden shift in our thinking that we kind of go mysterious? Like, well, maybe it's this and maybe it's that. If it's absolute with righteousness, it's absolute with healing. Because it's the same sacrifice. It's part of the package. Now, I'm the righteousness of God in Christ. Can I still sin? Yes. Can you? You ever have a day where you don't feel righteous? Yeah, a lot. Does that mean that I'm no longer righteous? Let me put it in another sense. Let's say I wake up tomorrow morning and I go, Julie, I just don't feel married. I feel like a single man. She is going to the safety deposit box and she's going to pull out a piece of paper that says wrong. So it doesn't matter how you feel. So if I don't feel healed, it doesn't mean I'm not. I am healed. I'm agreeing with God. I am healed. By his stripes, I am healed. A lot of times people say, well, I'm waiting on the manifestation. And really what you're saying is, I'm waiting for my body to tell me when I'm healed. You were healed when he took the stripes. He's not taken any more. It's a finished work. And so what do we need? We need to believe that. We need to take the word of God and speak that over our body. Stop taking possession of sickness. Don't say, I have this. Never say that again. Never say, I am healed of. I am the healed resisting sickness. I'm not sick trying to get healed. I'm already healed. And so what do? We take these things and we sit in the presence of God. And we say, God, I need to hear you. Because faith comes by hearing him. It's not enough. Oh, we're going to get into it. Can we get into it? It's not enough to know a lot. Knowledge is good, but knowledge can get in the way. It can puff up, right? Faith comes by hearing God. if I'm not hearing him and I'm just quoting verses, sometimes we think, okay, well, I got healing. I got this. 1 Peter 2:24, by his stripes I'm healed. Lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. Same spirit that raised Jesus from the dead dwells in me, quickens and makes alive. You know, I mean, we can go through all of these things and we think that knowledge plus need equals faith. No. No. You need God to speak to you. And he's speaking to me about my water. Bless your water. Bless it. It changed that woman's blood in 12 minutes. 12 minutes. I don't know what restructured water is. They're probably selling something. You know, I cut the video. They're probably selling some sort of system. But that's a reality. That guy Emoto, that's a real thing. And we're mostly water. Stop cursing yourself. And I'm probably going to listen to a little bit more Mozart. Not my favorite, but oh well. But you see the effects, and even written words. Did you see, hear that? That they inscribed it on the beaker. They wrote the word on there, and they did it in different languages. I have another video that shows in different languages, not just English. And that water, that shows you the intelligence in design, in God's creation. It's there. The water knows what you're saying. The water knows what you expect from it. And I think we're causing a lot of our own issues. Do you see that with Adolf Hitler? I saw another one of that, and it looked like his very own face in there. I wish I'd have had that one up there. But anyway, so let's keep going. I want you to go over to Mark chapter 2. Let's talk about sickness just for a little bit. And I'm going to say this, that to deal with sickness, we've got to deal with the root, okay? And sickness is the result of sin. I'm not saying everybody that's sick is in some kind of sin. I'm just saying that sin entered the world. Sickness was the beginning of death to humanity. And there is nothing about sickness that is good for you. It's not for you to learn. It's not something God does. He doesn't have it. He can't give you a cold. He doesn't have a cold, can he? It's meant to steal from you, to kill you ultimately, and to destroy you. That's what its purpose is. There's no benefit at all. But sickness comes from sin. And I'm not talking about an individual sin, okay? I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about sin as a category. Okay, that's when death entered into the world. We live in a world right now that is severely handicapped compared to the pre-flood earth. In the pre-flood earth, we had approximately 2.5 times the oxygenated pressure. Remember we were watching those Dr. Ball videos? Man, those were remarkable. We weren't designed to die. We weren't designed to get sick. So Jesus said, you know what? He didn't get sick, but he allowed his body to be crushed so that we could receive healing. Oh, I got help today. I don't know about you, but I need this. I went and did a physical, and my blood pressure was so high, they wouldn't let me leave. My doctor, she gave me 2 little pills, and about 45 minutes later, woo, it was all good. And they kept asking me, are you feeling okay? I think they thought I was going to stroke right there in their office. That's how high it was. It was crazy. I'm not going to tell you what it was. Won't bless you. And she said, you'll want to take a nap this afternoon. I got home. I'm in front of my computer. Whatever it is, it slowed it down. So this is for me. You get what I get. Are you with me? I'm in a battle. Or who's in a battle? You know what? Let's battle this together. Let's do this thing. Let's fight. Amen? Instead of fighting each other, let's fight in unison. Mark 2, let's start reading in verse 1. And again, he entered Capernaum, and after some days it was heard that he was in the house. Jesus was in the house. Glory to God. Immediately many gathered together so that there was no longer room to receive them, not even near the door. And he preached the word to them. Then they came to him, bringing a paralytic who was carried by 4 men. And when they could not come near him because of the crowd, they uncovered the roof where he was. So when they had broken through, they let down the bed on which the paralytic was lying. When Jesus saw their faith, What was present? Faith. You know, these guys could have said, Joe, I'm sorry, buddy. We can't get in. We'll try again tomorrow. Did they stop? No. If we can get you to this guy. The four guys had faith, and Joe on the mat, he had faith. When Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralytic, Son, your sins are forgiven you. And some of the scribes who were sitting there and reasoning in their hearts, why does this man speak blasphemies like this? Who can forgive sins but God alone? You know they're right. But immediately, when Jesus perceived in his spirit that they had reasoned thus within themselves, he said to them, why do you reason about these things in your hearts? Which is easier to say to the paralytic, your sins are forgiven you, or to say, arise, take up your bed and walk? Jesus is connecting healing and salvation. Forgiveness and healing, right there. He's dealing with the root. Which is easier to say? Why is it easier for us to believe that 100% of the people that come up for salvation got saved, but 100% of the people that come up for healing, that's a different deal. We have to think about that. Did Jesus do any pre-healing interviews? Now, what did you do to get yourself in this? And how are you going to handle this? And did he do that? He healed them. Didn't he? Okay. Thank you, Lord. Which is easier to say to the paralytic, your sins are forgiven you, or to say, arise, take up your bed and walk? But that you may know that the Son of Man has the authority, the power, the exousia on earth to forgive sins, he said to the paralytic, I say to you, arise, take up your bed and go to your house. He healed him. See, he connected him. And he dealt with the root. And I want you to know that when we get born again, the root is dealt with. So let's not accept the package of sickness. Let's accept the whole package of salvation, which includes healing. Speak to your body. I don't feel anything. So what? Get God to speak to you. Let him breathe on one of those scriptures. Do what he says to do. Do what he says to do. That's the best advice in the Bible came from Mary. Remember that? The first miracle, they ran out of wine. The governor was going to be embarrassed. And so she goes, you need to do something about this. And he said, woman, it's not my time. Now, he's not being disrespectful to his mom. That's the way they actually spoke. And yet he became subject to his mom. She didn't even pay attention to him. He's trying to get out of it. She's like, went over and talked to Peter and John. Whatever he tells you to do, you do it. That's the best advice in the Bible. You got to hear him. That's where faith comes. You've got to hear him. And I'm telling you, one of the things we need to do is get our words involved. Pay attention to what you're saying. Pay attention to what you're exposing yourself to. You know what I've done? And again, this isn't, don't say, well, that must be what I got to do. I heard a word on the inside. I am removing myself from a lot of social media. I mean, I still post something, but I'm not trolling all day. And I've turned off Fox News. I believe in being informed. But you know what? My blood pressure was pretty high. And I thought, this stuff must be stressing me out. Because I care. How many of you care about our country? And when I see some of the... Well, don't go down that road. I'll have to take some pills. When I see some of the stuff that's happening, it's alarming. Why is it even a conversation about a baby that has survived an abortion getting medical attention? Why is that a conversation? Are my veins sticking out? I'm telling you, that's the place I've gotten to. It is so wrong. It is so wrong. The most offensive thing to me, that is even a discussion. It grieves me. And so I'm not burying my head in the sand. I'm going to pray. But I recognize that this is causing me to fret. It's causing me to be concerned. I need peace. I need joy. When I believe, I have peace and I have joy and I rest. And you know what? Next time I turn it on, they'll be right back where they were. And, you know, they've always got a Democrat on one side and a Republican on the other side, and then they're yelling on top of each other. That's cursing. And I'm exposing the water in my body to those things. I honestly believe that's what my body's reacting to. So I'm just telling you, I heard a word from the Lord, fast that. Take that off the plate. When I'm driving, I just, Father. It's not hard. It's focus. The hard part is not allowing yourself to be derailed in your attention or being distracted. We got to dial in. We need to hear God. Healing's available. It's as true as righteousness is true. But you know what? When you have symptoms in your body, that has a voice. It's talking to you. We didn't see our sins all laying in a big old huge pile. There's no evidence required. It would be easier to say your sins are forgiven, right? But it's just as much a reality because it's the same sacrifice. I gave you three scriptures. These are his benefits. There was healing provided for in the law. You could get healed with the law. Old covenant. It's there, right? And then you see Jesus just healing them all. You read over in James, is there any sick among you? I get the impression there shouldn't be any sick among us. Should there? Thank you, Jesus. Go over to Numbers 21. I'm going to show you another place where there was provision in the Old Testament. Numbers 21. So I just want to encourage you, get with God. You know what I mean? And allow him to give you the faith for the whole package. Maybe it's not healing. Maybe it's faith for provision. I remember living a long time thinking financially I would have a real hard time, that I was going to probably live somewhere below middle, that that's just where I would live. And that was a mindset. And so I had to spend time with the Lord. No, I'm to be the lender, not the borrower. I want to bless people. I want to help people. You know what? And if we'll get into a pattern of blessing, being an encouragement, you hear that. That affects your water molecules. Glory to God. This is going so much better than I knew it would. Numbers 21, look at verse 8. Then the Lord said to Moses, make a fiery serpent and set it on a pole, and it shall be that everyone who is bitten, when he looks at it, shall live. Now you guys know what happened. They're out in the wilderness, and their words, they said they'd complained against God. And it's worded, it sounds like that the Lord sent these things, but you have to understand that the Hebrew verbs can be translated causative or permissive. God's not in the business of sending snakes to your house to kill you. That doesn't happen. We know that from the New Testament, okay? So it's a translation issue. They chose something they shouldn't have chosen, okay? It just means that he's allowing what their words required. Their words placed a demand on poisonous vipers. Their words. And in fact, they repented. They're like, we said stuff we shouldn't have said. We're sorry. Said stuff about God. We said stuff about Moses. We messed up. Please pray. Okay, so now Moses has prayed. This is God's response. So, verse 9. So Moses made a bronze serpent and put it on a pole. And so it was, if a serpent had bitten anyone, when he looked at the bronze serpent, he lived. He was healed. What is that? What is that? Okay, go over to John, chapter 3. All they had to do was look at it. They didn't have to break out the guitar, sing a bunch of words. They just had to look at it. Why? Are you ready? Oh, I got help. I feel my help. Whew. John chapter 3, look at verse 14. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. What was happening in the wilderness was a type of when Jesus became sin on the cross. Is the type greater than the real? Could it be that that's what we need to do, is look back at Jesus on the cross, go to Galatians chapter 3. That's what we need to do. We need to look at the sacrifice. And remember, it paid all of it. Galatians chapter 3, look at verse 13. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, which included sickness, having become a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree. We have to discern his body. When we think of communion, we're going to take communion in a few moments. When we take communion, we understand the blood. This is the new covenant. But what about the body? Why was the body bruised? So that we could be healed. We look at the same sacrifice. The type of the serpent, the bronze snake on a pole, is not greater than the real. Maybe that's what we need to do. We need to look at Jesus and see all of that ugly put on him who didn't deserve it. All right, go to 1 Corinthians, and we're going to get ready to take communion. We're going to do this the way we do it, but I really especially want us to take communion with revelation today, that it's not just the blood, but it's his body, broken for you. By his stripes, you were healed. I cannot tell you how many times I've been around altars and people are asking God to heal people. Oh, Father. And they list like their resume. Oh, this person, they love you so much. They're in church every time they do it. They serve you. So it's almost like they're saying why this person should deserve healing. And like they're trying to talk God into healing them. Again, we're looking at healing as though it comes from outside of us, from above. God, cut the check. Please cut the check. Help a brother out, please. Right? That's common. I mean, that's common. Healing is right here. He's already in you. He's the Holy. Rob, you are healed. 100% healed. Leslie, you are healed. 100% healed. By the stripes of Jesus. Man, I got help. 1 Corinthians 11, look at verse 23. Paul is writing, he says, "For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks," look at that, gratitude and love, there it is, "he broke it and said, take, eat, this is my body, broken for you." That's before the blood. "Do this in remembrance of me." In the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till he comes. Therefore, whoever eats this bread or drinks this cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat the bread and drink of the cup. For he who eats and drinks in an unworthy manner eats and drinks judgment to himself, not discerning the Lord's body." The Lord's body. We have to discern the Lord's body. It was broken for us to be provided complete and absolute health. "For this reason, many are weak and sick among you, and many sleep." That literally means they're dead. They're dead. "For if we would judge ourselves, we would not be judged." And you've heard me share many times as we've taken communion, when it talks about being guilty, that means liable to a charge. And I used to tell people, okay, so Let's approach this with reverence and seriousness. Make sure you've got all that unconfessed sin out of your life. Take a moment now. If you're not sure, let the elements go, because you don't want to die. Anybody heard it that way? We're to judge ourselves righteous, and I would submit to you, we're to judge ourselves healed, completely healed. And I believe that as we take communion today, people are going to see their healing. I also believe that beyond physical healing, remember, it's wholeness, spirit, soul, and body. And we've looked at the anointing. The anointing was to heal the brokenhearted. That sozo applies to our soul. When we got born again, all the healing that needed to happen in our spirit happened. But there's a lot of healing that needs to happen in the soul. I want to submit to you that the reason some people, choosing my words carefully, maybe struggle with healing is because they think they're a disappointment to the Father. I lived that way, so I can relate to that. That maybe I didn't measure up. Maybe it was words that we heard spoken over us that would put a ceiling in our life. I want you to know that body was broken to heal that place. He doesn't consider you and what you've done. He considers what Jesus has done. Look at the cross. Look at the cross when he became sin. If you look at the serpent, you're healed. What was meant to kill you cannot kill you. But if you look at the cross, you're healed. Spirit, soul, and body. Many people live with that, I feel like a disappointment. I've let God down. And so in some distant way, that's where we kind of qualify our healing or the manifestation of it. We qualify it because I somehow deserve it. It's wrong. It's a lie. Jesus, what he did was complete. And it's once for all.